The first reading today, St. Paul appeals with us to not receive the grace of God in vain and tells us that this is the acceptable time and this is the day of salvation. That's the point that each one of us needs to recognize within our own selves. This is the time that God has created us and placed us in the situation of our lives. And so this is the time of grace, the time of salvation, the acceptable time for us. God didn't create us in a different age. This is where he's placed us. And more than that, because he has placed us in this situation, he's going to give each one of us the grace necessary to be able to do what we're supposed to do. He's not necessarily going to make it easy. You listen again to what St. Paul talks about. He talks about afflictions, hardships, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts, and so on. Sounds like what's going on last week, doesn't it? But anyway, it's a matter of being able to see that the situation in which we're living, with all of its problems and all of its difficulties, are part of God's providence for us. So then we have to look at it and say, okay, how do we handle this? St. Paul says they handled it with purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and unfeigned love, and truthful speech, in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness at the right and the left, through glory and dishonor, insult and praise. That can only be done through prayer. We have to be focused on the Lord. And only when we see all of this as part of what God's providence is for us can we accept it and can we deal with it in the way that's the best. That is to maintain the peace in the midst of it. Again, you listen to what St. Paul is talking about and all this stuff that they had to endure. You'd think that if that were the case, he might be getting really angry. And the way that he's going to preach the gospel is going to come out with a real edge on it. Because these people, after all, are a bunch of jerks and whatever else. Now, that's not what he's saying here. Now, you might look at it and say, well, but, you know, earlier on, St. Paul was pretty rough. And he was. He admits that. But this is one of the letters to the Corinthians, which is one of the earlier letters. And so this isn't okay after years and years and years, St. Paul had learned some patience here and learned some charity. This is what he was trying to do early on. So yeah, we can all look at it and say, hopefully one day I can get to the point where this is the way I am. But we have to make the effort to get there. We can't just say, well, wouldn't that be nice if that were the case? Sure would. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all patient and kind and charitable and so on? What are we doing to get there? So we have to be making the effort now to be able to grow in virtue. The grace is there. That's the point St. Paul is making. This is the time that God is giving us the grace, so don't receive it in vain. Don't receive his grace and then just slough it off. That's such an easy thing for us to do. Especially, think about it, you're going to receive communion in just a couple of minutes. You're going to receive the Lord Jesus in the fullness of his self into your own self. Literally, an infinite amount of grace. The fullness of grace in the universe is going to be infused into your soul to the degree that you're able to receive it. And then what happens when you get out into your car? If you're like a lot of people, it's going to be impatience, it's going to be bad language, it's going to be screaming at somebody, it's going to be making judgments, it's going to be all kinds of bad things. It's like, really? We have Jesus right there inside of us, we have all the grace right there, and what are we doing? So think about those sorts of things and say, all right, how do I handle things? And what would be a better way? Some of it just catches you off guard and you're just going to react. But even with that, it's like, okay, what should my reaction be? Can I bless people rather than curse them? Can I say something positive or just be silent rather than screaming at somebody or saying something negative? You might say, well, but the windows are up, nobody hears me. Well, the Lord does, and your guardian angel does. Hopefully the person in the other car didn't hear you, but they probably saw what your face looked like and have a pretty good idea what was coming out of your mouth. And so even if they didn't hear it, yeah, they're not that stupid that they didn't know what you were saying. So how do we handle that? Just reminds me of the story that, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was somebody that was being very, very impatient out on the road. And this person had bumper stickers on the back of their car. It said, pray the rosary and things like that, you know, and prayer does all these wonderful things. And this person is flailing around and zipping around cars and so on. And it wasn't breaking the law at all, but just being very, very impatient and rather rude. And the person got pulled over by the police. And when the cop came up to the window, the person said, did I do something wrong? The cop said, no, I've just been watching you for the last few minutes, and you know, all these things were happening, and based on what your bumper stickers were saying, I assume this must be a stolen car, because the person driving it couldn't be the one who is acting this way. So again, what kind of presentation are we giving? Are we really bringing the Lord into the situation? Are we bringing the Lord into the world? Are we bringing the example of what it means to be a good Christian person into all of this stuff? That's what St. Paul is talking about. He said, we do all of these things in order that no fault may be found with our ministry. Well, maybe you don't have a ministry per se, but if you look at it and say, God is the one who's putting you out into this situation, your ministry becomes bringing Christ into that situation. How is it going? Are you an example to the others? Are you the leaven in the world? Are you the one who's lifting others up? There's an awful lot that's going to be pulling you down. I'm not trying to deny that for a minute. But you have the Lord. And you have the Lord in that situation, whatever that situation may be. And our Lord told us what we have to have, the kind of disposition we've got to have. We heard it in the gospel today. That generosity, that charity, that selflessness that's there. It doesn't make sense on the natural level. Why, if somebody wants to press you into service for 1 mile, why would you ever go 2 miles with them? If somebody wants your tunic, why would you give them your cloak as well? Everything in us bristles at that idea. But he's basically saying, look at your disposition. Is it one of generosity? Is it one of charity? Is it one of lifting somebody else up to the Lord? Is it a selfless kind of disposition? Because let's admit it, by nature we're all selfish. Then we live in a selfish society. And so everything around us is pulling us more and more into the selfishness. The Lord is telling us to do the opposite. That takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of work. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to bring all these things to prayer and look at how we could handle this differently? How can we be that example? How can we be that leaven? If that's what he's asking us to do, being a light in the darkness, being the salt of the earth, being the leaven, how do we do that? What does that look like? You don't have to set up a soapbox and start preaching. You need to live it. What would it look like to be more patient in this situation? Instead of racing because this guy in the next car is going to try and get in front of me because, you know, that's, so I'm going to cut him off. well, what if I just backed off a little bit and let the guy pull in? Yeah, that's not what comes naturally to most of us, is it? How about when people are doing this or that, instead of mouthing off, instead of swearing back at them? How about if I just be silent? How about if I say something positive? How about if I'm actually edifying people? That's the kind of thing we can look. What little things can we do? Because that's how we can bring the gospel to people. They might not recognize it. The guy who cuts you off, if you just pull back and let him pull in, he might look at you and say, "What an idiot." Let him. And then let him think about it. Who's really being the fool? So if you're going to race with him, if you're going to try and cut him off, yeah, he's going to drive away, calling you a bunch of names and justifying himself because you're the one who's being the problem. Obviously, that's not entirely the truth, but that's the way he's going to look at it. If you just back off and let him in, the only option that he's got is to look at himself. Who's the problem here? Who was the one that was being nasty? Who's the one that was being irresponsible? Whatever you want to say. Little things can make a huge difference. So that's what we want to look at. You don't have to say much. Just put these little things into practice. Bring the gospel of Christ, which is love of God and love of neighbor, into the workplace, into the family, into the grocery store, wherever you are, on the road. If we can do those little things, that example is going to speak far louder than all the words that we could preach. And who knows who it's going to touch. That's what St. Paul was trying to do, to make sure that he was living in a certain way so that the example is what brought people to conversion. And obviously, in Corinth, that's exactly what worked. People saw how they were treated, and they saw how they responded. And it was precisely the example of those apostles that brought the early Christians to conversion. It's the example of us that are going to bring people of today to conversion. So God's giving us a wonderful opportunity. This is the acceptable time. This is the day of salvation. So don't receive the grace of God in vain.